south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander...
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
All right, let's talk about some bad news first. Starting with this email coming from Chris. He says, Johnny, I'm forwarding an interesting story for your perusal. Glad we chose not to peruse Ecuador. Then he sends me a link to this story out of the Wall Street Journal, just came out. The title, quote, Ecuador was a retirement paradise for Americans. Then the drug gangs arrived. I don't know if any of you listeners out there saw this article. There's lots of articles like it. Turns out crime in Ecuador is up 100% year over year. Not good at all for expats living there. And you know, it's funny, over the years I've been getting a lot of heat from listeners saying, Johnny, how come you don't recommend Ecuador? What do you got against it? It's cheap, it's nice, and if you're in the highlands, it's like the Altiplano in Guatemala. Perfect spring-like weather all year round. Well, you know, over the years on this show, I've mentioned lots of reasons why I don't like Ecuador. Not that I hate the place, it's a nice place to visit, but I wouldn't want to live there. You know, about 10 years ago, when international living first started saying, and then it happened every year after that, that it was one of the top two or three expat retirement destinations in the world. That was one of the reasons I thought, no, I don't want to live there. Every time international living has done that to any Latin country, it's been the kiss of death. Look what happened to Costa Rica, or Belize, Panama. Too many gringos spoils the punch, man. There's a cultural and economic shift that basically, well, contaminates the place. Since then, since international living gave it the huge thumbs up, I didn't necessarily give it the thumbs down, but I never really recommended the place. Never. The thing is, it just happens to be perfectly situated between Peru and Colombia, making it the perfect international drug transportation corridor. So lately, more than ever, I'm hearing all kinds of tragic stories from my expat buddies and acquaintances living down there. Used to be, just a few years ago, nice and peaceful. Now crime's off the charts. By the way, and you probably know this, one of the reasons why Ecuador has been on the top 10 list for retirees, that is according to AARP and rags like International Living, is because of their highly rated national healthcare system, which is basically free for expats with residency. Well, you do have to kick in a small monthly payment, but it's way under $100. So basically, it's a gift. Now, here's the thing, and I don't know if you agree with me on this or not, but my take is that any gringo expat wannabe or gonna-be who decides to move to a Latin American country because he can get on the national healthcare system, and it's a good national healthcare system compared to others. What that tells me is any expat gonna-be or wannabe who's thinking in those terms must be really short of cash on a really low budget. Probably has not much of a nest egg at all, and maybe just living on Social Security. Nothing wrong with that, but to base your decision to move to another country, a third world country, because you can get on the national healthcare system, well, in my mind, that's not very smart for a lot of reasons. Even if you're only just living on the average Social Security check, which is $1,500 a month or so, you could still live like a first world person in most all Latin American countries when you're off the gringo tourist trail anyway, without even giving a thought to whether the national healthcare system will accept you or not. It shouldn't be a concern because private insurance, even going raw without insurance, is so damn cheap. I know it's hard to believe, but private insurance is about a fifth or a sixth, up to a tenth of the cost of an equivalent private medical plan up in the States, with deductibles so low you won't believe it. So what if when you come down, you're only making $1,500 a month and you have to pay $100 or $200 a month for a really good first world insurance plan? To me, it's not at all worth it to gamble on a country based on getting on their national healthcare plan just to save a few bucks. You know, keep your medical expenses under $100 a month. That should never be your first consideration for having a plan B. Oh, and another thing, don't believe the ratings you hear about concerning those national healthcare systems. Because, as you heard me mention many times before, any national healthcare plan, like, for example, in Ecuador, it could be rated really stellar for 3 years running and then go completely bankrupt and then you're shit out of luck. It all depends on the political party and president that happens to be in office, how many lies he told to get elected and what he promised, and how much corruption and thievery are going on. The truth is, all national healthcare systems in Latin America are bankrupt. All Latin American governments are totally bankrupt, too. Sound familiar? Though oftentimes right before presidential election time will be a big cash injection into the system, and those national healthcare hospitals and clinics will look really good and nicely staffed right around election time. And the idiot short-term memory voters will act accordingly. Then, a year or so after the elections, there'll be severe shortages and problems in the national healthcare system once again. People and suppliers won't get paid. There'll be strikes, walkouts, and restricted care. Power outages, lack of maintenance, etc. Now, I'm using Ecuador as an example because so many expats and gringos I know who've gone down there, they cite their national healthcare system as being highly rated. Or at least that's what they'd heard from the publicity in International Living and AARP and the other retirement rags. Well, once again, let me repeat, you should never believe the publicity or what you read about how good the national healthcare systems are in Latin America or anywhere. They all suck, and then they don't, and then they do, and then they don't. You want to put your health in the hands of a system like that? I read the promotions at gringo retirement rags. They always say that Costa Rica, Colombia, and Ecuador have the best Latin American national healthcare systems. And when you hear that, it seems like a very good reason for older gringos who are on a strict budget or don't have much cash at all to come on down. Sure beats living under a bridge, eating cat food, and counting on Medicaid up in the States, right? Well, not so fast. If you're disinclined to believe what I'm saying, let me read you some excerpts from El Mercurio article, dated September 23rd, 2023. By the way, El Mercurio is one of the largest Spanish language news services. The article starts out by saying that Ecuador's national healthcare system has stopped receiving new cancer patients. It says, as of a month ago, July 2023, it's simply not possible anymore because of the debts owed by the Ecuadorian social security system. No more cancer patients allowed. It goes on to say, Raul Alvarado, the director of the national healthcare system, says the government owes $13,500,000, which represents 50% of the National Healthcare Cancer Center budget. The government is months behind in paying, so they made a decision, which came about last month, to not take any more referred cancer patients. It says currently the National Healthcare Cancer Center is treating 2,978 cancer patients and can receive no more. It says Mr. Alvarado explained that the cancer center needs resources to maintain equipment and owes $3 million to suppliers. Its monthly expenses include salary for 400 employees, cleaning, electricity, water, etc., etc. It says that though Mr. Alvarado has been told by the federal government that it's the national health care's obligation to treat all referred cancer patients, he says they will do as soon as the delinquent funds are transferred. Or the policy must be changed so that new cancer patients have to pay in advance and get reimbursed later by the Social Security system. Though Mr. Alvarado admits patients hoping to be reimbursed that way would most certainly encounter a long and difficult process. Oh, and speaking of another pretty good reason why I haven't recommended Ecuador, nice place to visit, wouldn't want to live there. Did you know, and I'm sure you didn't, that the largest teachers union in the country is a self-proclaimed socialist organization? It's called the National Union of Educators, UNE, and it's the country's largest teachers union. They proudly say in their platform they espouse socialist doctrines and principles. Wow, imagine the minds they're graduating from Ecuador's schools and universities. Something to think about when you're deciding on that country for your plan B. Now, you could say I'm particularly sensitive to this because I've got lots of teachers in my family. My mother has been a teacher all her life. Teacher and professor in both public and private schools in and around Chicago. Not to mention more than 30 years ago when I was living back in the States, I had a long-term girlfriend who was an art teacher for the public schools. And man, when I'd go to teachers' parties and get-togethers, I'd get boiling mad, flaming red hot. They were all, and I mean all, dyed-in-the-wool socialists. So anti-business, so anti-capitalist. Don't think the woke and socialist brainwashing of American students has just begun or just in the last few years. Nothing current or new about it. I saw it in action up front and close 30, even 40 years ago. But I'd give them a pass because, you know, you don't want to start anything at parties or get-togethers. Though you'd think my mother, who's a very smart person, would listen to reason. She still walks into the voting booth and pulls the Democrat lever. I found out a long time ago, no matter how much logic you use, it's impossible to change the mind of a teacher with a socialist mindset. Though I still give my mom a pass because, well, she's my mom, and being that she's 92 years old, she calls herself a Kennedy Democrat. No, not the Robert Kennedy Jr. type, the John F. Kennedy type from the 60s. Yeah, so when I'm with her, we just don't talk politics. Or for that matter, the COVIDiot fraud. It's futile. Now, speaking of Latin American politics, like Ecuador, Guatemala, Panama, Costa Rica, whatever, there's something very interesting that goes on in the voting booth that gringos and expats are not aware of at all, but should be. But really, how would us gringo expats even know what goes on in the voting booth because we don't vote in their elections? Anyway, in most Latin American countries, they have on the presidential ballot a box you can check called Nulo, N-U-L-O, which means nobody. So you could walk into the voting booth and vote for nobody. In other words, you don't like any of the candidates. They all suck. And you can vote Nulo as a protest vote. Now, believe it or not, because you can check Nulo, there have been quite a few elections where nobody won the election. Doesn't that send a signal? So then what happens when Nulo wins? Nobody wins? Well, they set up a runoff election some weeks later. But hey, you gotta love it. Don't you wish they had the Nulo box or the nobody box on the ballot up in the States? That would certainly get the pissed off and disgruntled public off their asses and down to the voting booth, huh? Hey, we can dream, can't we? Enough said about that. All right, switching gears to mating, dating, love, and romance. Always a very hot and popular topic on the show. Let's start with this email from Warren. He says, Johnny, your emailer of a few shows ago was so right. A girl who's only interested in her cell phone, TikTok, social media, and fashion, that says a lot about her and the guy she's with. But if he's not into all that crap and she is, something's got to give. For one, you can imagine, if he has a brain and she doesn't, or if he's educated and she's not, it'll eventually wear on him. It can even turn into a low-grade kind of torture, and vice versa. He says, I've been through that scene myself, and some of my friends have been too. We've all been with hot, uneducated girls addicted to social media. The sex might be great, and you get that ego boost from arm candy. But that limited vocabulary and lack of knowledge thing when trying to have a good conversation will wear on you. Worse yet, and I've been through this too, when she doesn't speak English and you're stuck using Google Translate, that gets old and certainly interrupts the flow of any conversation. However, he says, the dirty little secret about guys is that men will always hang on too long to a beautiful, empty-headed woman. It's hard to dump a beautiful woman when the rest of the world is always complimenting you and telling you how lucky you are to have her. That's been my situation when dating Latinas, he says. When you're a 5 or 6 and she's a 9 or 10, you've always got that thought in the back of your mind. He says, I repeat, it seems men will hang on way too long to a beautiful, empty-headed woman. That also applies to smart women who hook up with thick-headed, superficial, good-looking, hunky men, too. Personally, I don't know how smart women put up with those kind of guys, but they seem to tolerate a good-looking hunk of a guy with a small brain for way too long. Could it have something to do with the fact that their girlfriends exhibit some jealousy that she's caught such a hunk? The social pressure to stay with a good looker with terrible faults can be a big factor. And Johnny, here's what most girls don't get about us guys. The most fun we can have as a guy is ripping on other guys, our friends, especially when our buddies are slightly down due to factors outside of their control. It gets even better when the guy you're ripping on can take it and has good comebacks. But there's one thing guys can't stand is when their buddies whine and complain. Most girls, though they don't say it out loud, expect us men to work until we die. We do that to provide for them and our kids. Some of us also die and get maimed in combat to defend them and our families. We accept that and don't complain. In certain ways, our lives are much tougher than theirs. But don't ever say that in front of her or you'll be sleeping on the couch. The fact is, a girl, especially if she's beautiful or good-looking, can always lean on a guy, while the guy is responsible for his own success or failure and has to master himself and his emotions, unless he's born with a silver spoon, to have any chance at success. What girls don't get about guys is that every other guy in the world is in competition with us and wants to take a dump on us if he can. While every girl born beautiful has the world by the ass, every guy starts out on the bottom rung of the ladder. Every rung you climb, you get battered and bruised. You know, Johnny, I read an article from a psychologist who wrote a book about happiness. He said, if there's one trait a guy should try to master that will really help him out in life is to master rejection. He said the average guy will face rejection hundreds of times more than the average girl ever will. Just look at the mating and dating game and those Cupid sites. You better have a really thick skin. If you're not Mr. Rock Hard Abs, be prepared to get rejected hundreds of times. That's my rant, Johnny. Signed, Warren. Warren, sounds like you're doing a little whining there. Which reminds me, I've got a little treat for you. Expat Eddie, who, by the way, is single now. Yeah, he broke up with Claudia. Long story, but turned out she was a closet drinker, and she took it way too far. Sad story, I'll tell it to you one of these days. Anyway, now that expat Eddie is on the loose again, he promised to check in more or less regularly. Now, you new listeners might not know who expat Eddie is, but he's a guy that came down to Latin America about 20 years ago, ended up sleeping on my couch for a month or two. He came down with $5,000 and a backpack, and in 5 years turned a little sushi joint in El Salvador, in a strip mall, to a multi-million dollar franchise business. So anyway, expat Eddie's on the loose again. He checked in just a couple of days ago with this email. He said, Johnny, you've been talking a bit lately on your show about those Cupid sites and hooking up with Latin ladies and vice versa. He says, I've put together a list of pointers for gringo ladies and Latina ladies, and I'd like you to tell me if you agree with this list or not. Or maybe I'm just old-fashioned and this list shows my age. Anyway, here it goes. I repeat, Johnny, tell me if you agree with this list or not. First, let's talk about turnoffs for guys. He says, ladies, most guys who are mature and worth their salt find it a turnoff when you color your hair purple, green, or some other unnatural color. There's nothing wrong with trying different things, but when you go to the extreme with hair or makeup or anything related to your appearance or piercings or tattoos, don't expect a sincere, you look great response from yours or any other guy, unless he has green hair and face piercings too. Especially when you show up with your hair braided on one side of your head and the other side's straight, short, and green. Wait a minute. Me, John, here. I don't know if you listeners up in the States are seeing this, but I'm even seeing 80-year-old ladies doing it now. You know, coloring their head purple, red, and green. Have you seen that? Though here in Latin America, I've never seen a 70 or 80-year-old Latina pulling off that green or purple hair thing. I've seen old gringa expat ladies, you know, on vacation and such, sporting that look and don't know what to make of it. I'm thinking, what if my 92-year-old mom showed up with green or purple hair? I don't know. I'd be thinking midlife crisis. But wait a minute. She had that already when she was 40 or so. What do you call doing something crazy at 80 or 90? Late life crisis? I don't know. All right. Back to expat Eddie's email. He says, American gringo ladies, here's some pointers for you. When you start talking about people or your friends or yourself using woke pronouns, and we idiot men get confused and get that glazed look, it's not that you lost us in the conversation, though you have. Because we suddenly have no idea who said or did what and when they did it. The truth of the matter is we have that glazed look in our eyes because we're trying to figure out a way to ditch you, dump you, or get the hell out diplomatically without causing an embarrassing scene. And though everyone standing around won't admit, you've already embarrassed yourself bringing up that pronoun crap in the first place. Just imagine having a girlfriend like that. Everywhere you go, everyone you meet having to deal with her pronoun lunacy on a daily basis? Funny how in 20 years I've never met a Latin American lady who's been a pronoun-obsessed woke idiot. Could it be because the Spanish language is 100% gender-based? Thank God for that. There's only one woke word in the Spanish language. That's Latinx. And it seems that mind virus has only affected Latino college kids who live in the United States. Then Eddie says one more thing. We've all heard those terrible stories, jokes, and cliches about mothers-in-laws. Well, once you move down to Latin America and start mating and dating, you can toss that concept out the window. Because Latina mothers-in-laws, known as suegras, are noted for treating their gringo and expat sons-in-law like gold. Which, I guess, is another part of the gringo advantage you talk about, Johnny. However, if you've lived down in Latin America long enough, you'll notice that Latino son-in-laws are not getting the same treatment at all, and deservedly so. That stateside mother-in-law cliche is the same here in Latin America for their daughters who marry Latinos. But somehow, us gringos and expats get a pass, more than a pass. You'll find out that even if you break up with a Latina, your former Latina mother-in-law will still treat you like gold. It's part of that gringo advantage that most people just don't know about. All right, there you have it. Expat Eddie's chiming in on the mating and dating game. Thanks for that, Eddie. Keep those cards and letters coming. On that same topic, Benny writes in, Johnny, he says, I'm a six. That makes me a complete failure on the Cupid dating site. I notice if you're not tall, handsome, an eight or a nine, you get no action on those Cupid sites except from gold diggers. He says, I've been a failure in dating both American and Latina women I've found on those Cupid sites. That's what you get when you're a six. In fact, I've sort of developed a one-sentence description for the woman I have met on those dating apps. He says, for American women, if they are honest, here's what their Cupid personal self-description should really be. If they were honest, it would go like this. Hello, guys. My name is fill in the blank. I'm a strong, caring, intelligent, independent American woman, and I really don't need a man for anything. Except I need you to buy this $500 purse for me. And Johnny, for Latin women, if they are honest, here's what their Cupid personal self-description should be. Hello, guys. I'm fill in the blank. I'm a strong, caring, intelligent, independent Latina woman. I really don't need a man for anything. Except I need you to buy this $50 purse for me. Johnny, do you see the difference? Wow, Benny. Don't be like that. Don't judge the entire Latina dating pool by what you see on those Cupid sites. They're loaded with minefields and gold diggers. What you need to do is get some boots on the ground. Take a walk through any Central Park or big shopping center down here in Latin America. Give it a little time. Let that gringo advantage kick in. I'm with you, though. Those Cupid dating sites and social media sites have ruined the dating game for most guys, unless you're an 8, 9, or 10. I repeat, get some boots on the ground, preferably off the gringo tourist trail. Because as you've heard me say many times before, when you're on the gringo tourist trail, the gringo dollar has contaminated the local population. Us gringos and our tourism and our gringo dollar and loose spending, we've created a culture of gold diggers. We've helped create an expectation of high maintenance with both the girls and the guys. They see how foolish and loose we are with our money when we're on vacation. So you can hardly blame them. They think that's our lifestyle, how we are 24/7, even when we're back home up in the States. But little do they know, though most gringos on vacation appear to be human cash machines, Latinos down here don't know that when you get back home, you're back on that treadmill, trying to crack that monthly nut and stay even. It ain't pretty, and in most cases, just monotonous and soul-crushing. Latinos don't realize a gringo's life, the rest of the 50 weeks out of the year, does not resemble in any way the life they saw you living when you were on vacation. That's why when a gringo or gringa marries a Latino or a Latino here in Latin America and brings them back to the States to live, it's almost always a guaranteed recipe for disaster. Though that's not to say if you have a love connection here in Latin America, it won't turn out to be a disaster too. Lots of gringo Latina and gringa Latino relationships just don't work out. Life, love, romance, mating, and dating, that stuff's very complicated. Often just a roll of the dice. The thing is, though, I know tons of gringo Latina couples and some gringa Latino couples who've stayed down here in Latin America and whose relationships have weathered the test of time. But I can't seem to think of a single success story when a gringo or gringa has hooked up with a Latina or Latino here in Latin America and moved back to the States to live. Like I said, that seems to be a recipe for disaster. But you knew that already, right? By the way, here's something that may or may not shock you. What do you think of this very repeatable, huge statistical study? There was a question put to 10,000 college-aged women at different campuses around the States. The question was, would you rather be the second wife of a billionaire, that is, in a polygamous relationship with a billionaire, or the first and only wife of an average guy, a guy making 75 grand a year. How do you think the ladies answered that survey? Well, there's two different answers. With half the group, the women were told their answers will be openly known, along with their names. With that particular group, only 30% of the women answered that they would rather be a second wife of a billionaire in a polygamous relationship than the first and only wife of an average guy. However, in the group of ladies that was told that their answers would be completely anonymous, 70% picked number one. They'd rather be the second wife of a billionaire in a polygamous relationship than the first and only wife of an average guy. So I'm thinking maybe we have to reevaluate the definition of a gold digger, huh? Oh, and here's something I bet you'll never hear about. Not in the lamestream media, anyway. I was talking to a Guatemalan guy, a farmer, who's near the border of Mexico. He said, just lately, just this year, he hasn't had to bring his limes, or limones as they're called, to market because Mexicans are coming down and buying all of them up by the truckload. Unusual, he said, but good for him and all the farmers on the Guatemalan side of the Mexican border. Turns out, he said, extortion is getting so bad in Mexico, they charge a fee for everything. Basic food, soft drinks, beers, chicken, avocados, limes, lemons. So everything's more expensive in Mexico than it is on the Guatemala side. He says it's cheaper for some Mexicans to just drive down with a truck and fill it up with limes and go back to Mexico and sell them. He said even the ingredients for tortillas are cheaper in Guatemala, so trucks are coming down from Mexico and buying all that stuff up too. He said Mexicans coming down with their trucks are telling him that everyone's getting extorted up there. The tomato, banana, mango producers, even the transportation companies and distributors are paying the gangs. He said, but not in Guatemala. He said, in fact, the price of limes in Mexico has doubled in just the last year, reaching about $4.50 a kilo or $2 a pound. They're much cheaper in Guatemala. He said, hundreds of farms in Mexico have been abandoned. What used to be banana and avocado and mango plantations have been completely abandoned by their owners due to widespread extortion. Not good, huh? Which begs the question, how is that Plan B in Mexico looking to you now? By the way, if you want to get on that early bird list for my tentative February 2024 Expat Insider Seminar, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com.
You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, we can schedule a one-on-one phone or Skype consult. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to get on the waiting list for my next week-long Expat Insider Seminar in Central America, where you're guaranteed to get a 2 to 5 year head start on your Plan B, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.